welcome to In Town and Out. But first up, more bodies of water, this time the Rideau River, with one of the country's top anglers who happens to be completely blind.
I have to sort of use my knowledge, use my senses to understand my environment around me. I take those same skills now and I apply them to the underwater world.
A lesson in fishing and conservation with Ottawa's Lawrence Gunther. My name is Jessa Runciman, and Ontario's license-free summer fishing period starts today. So that means a lot of first-timers will be getting an introduction to the pastime. Locally, Lawrence Gunther is one of Ottawa's fishing experts. He's one of the best anglers in the country. He's proven that in many a competition. He hosts a fishing podcast. He founded an organization, Bluefish Canada, to educate people about sustainable fishing practices. But something sets Lawrence's fishing experience apart from other anglers. He does it without the use of his sight, something that's helped him develop a unique relationship with the water. We met at the Rideau River in Strathcona Park, along with Lawrence's guide dog, Moby.
Moby, what's up?
I fish on this river, and sometimes by foot and on shore, and sometimes in waders and float tubes and kayaks and you name it. I'm on the water, I'm beside the water, I'm in the water.
There is something that makes fishing a different experience for you, though. You're doing it without sight. Was there ever a point when you thought that might impact your ability to fish?
When I was a kid, everyone, like all kids, they fish with floats. And when I wasn't able to see the float, the bobber anymore, and I couldn't get the excitement of the bobber going down, it was a huge disappointment. But then I learned there was another way of fishing, and it's by touch. You know, water can have a visibility of 3 feet, 6 feet, 6 inches. You never know. But with a fishing rod and some good fishing line, like some of this Power Pro braided line, and a lure like a jig with a tungsten head or something other that sinks to the bottom, you can feel what's down there. Your extension of your fingertip can be extended out hundreds of feet just by casting and letting your lure drop to the bottom. And by moving along the bottom, you can tell how deep the water is, if it's rock or gravel or sand or mud or weeds or stumps. You know everything about the water and the bottom structure. And the bottom structure is the most important because fish love structure. And if there's nothing down there, which 90% of the time it's just flat bottom, there's no fish.
What are some other techniques that you use?
Well, if you listen now, you can hear a bird in the tree. There's always trees along the shore. And by listening to the wind and the branches and the birds in the trees, I always know where the shore is, even though I can't see it at all. When I'm on this river, I can tell where the rapids start because you can hear the rapids, right? So mm-hmm. You want to avoid that unless, you know, you're into whitewater canoeing, which I do sometimes, but not when I'm fishing. And then just listening to the shore, listening to the water, listening to the wind, the way the wind pushes the waves up on shore, that's always the best place to fish. You want to fish on the shore that has the waves crashing on it because it's churning up the bottom. It's releasing all the little micro bits of food that the minnows are going to feed on, and then the big fish move in and feed on the minnows. So listening and understanding what's going on in your environment, and it changes hour to hour, really tells you where the fish are.
I can see you've got some nifty technology here that helps you out from time to time as well. Can you walk me through it?
Well, this is a GPS system. This was developed here in Canada by HumanWare, and it basically allows me to create waypoints. So when I'm heading out in my kayak or my little porta boat, I create a waypoint at the launch, and then I can just sort of head off and find my way back.
Heading north. Walking distance, 0.3 miles. Walking time. Heading north.
That's just telling me where we are. Then I've got this system here. You know, when I'm on the kayak or on the boat by myself, I put this little receiver on the boat or the kayak, and then I wear this key fob around my neck. It's waterproof. So if I fall out of my boat or my kayak, I can always just press the button, and it lets off this beep, so I can find my way back to the boat. Sort of important if you want to actually don't want to swim home.
Yeah, just a little bit.
This is a device made in the UK that I helped build. It's basically a beeping compass. So I'll just set it on the deck of the kayak in front of me. I'll press the button when I know I'm in the direction I want to go. So the button's pressed. It's got a heading. Now if I veer too far to the left, the faster the beep, the more I'm off course to the port, and I'm coming back to starboard. Stop beeping, I'm on track. Oh, I'm heading too far to the starboard. It's beeping like crazy. Back to the center. There, I'm back on track.
It's an audio compass.
It's just an audio compass. Just keeps me going in a straight line. And on the water, it's really hard to go in a straight line.
Did I hear you say that you had helped to build this?
A lot of the stuff I input on, yeah. It's, you know, I'm sort of known now internationally as sort of an expert in the area of on-water navigation for the blind. But you know what? I used to fish cod, and I used to be out in Cape Breton every summer when I was between semesters at university. And I fished cod with guys who had fished on homemade wooden dories for hundreds of years. And they just had a compass. They had no GPS. They had no satellites. They had nothing, just a GPS. And they would go out in the fog, and they would just by the smell of the land and the way the waves were rolling and how the waves were setting up, they could get in and out of their stony, craggy harbors in their wooden boats, driving blind in on their boats. And then without fish finders and depth sounders and radars and things like that, they were able to tell what was down there and where the good fishing was just from experience and from feeling around with their jigs. So, I mean, they've been fishing blind and driving blind and sailing blind for thousands of years. So what I'm doing, I've got a real advantage. I'm still blind, but I've got all this technology.
Yeah, and at the same time, in a sense, the relationship that you've developed with the water and the creatures in it is probably all the more rich.
I've been fishing tournaments for quite a few years against sighted people, and I still fish maybe 10 or so a year. I've fished well over 100 tournaments, and I beat most sighted people most of the time. But I don't need to prove that anymore. I have a master's in environmental studies, and what I really care about is the future of fish and fishing. We have all this technology, we have all of this information, we have maps and sounders, and we can definitely get out there and we can find fish and we can catch them all. And we've been doing that pretty well around the world for the last 50 years. We've been wiping out fish stocks like crazy. So we have to learn how to do it sustainably. And teaching people how to teach their kids and their grandkids how to fish sustainably, which fish to keep, which one to let go. Don't keep the biggest fish. That's the breeder. That's the female. That's the one you need to have in your lake. You want to let the big one go. Take a few of the middle-sized males out. You know, they're just competing for the food source anyways. Things like that. You know, how to handle fish. Never touch fish with dry hands. Never rub fish against your clothing when you're getting a picture taken. Don't take fish out of the water for more than 15 seconds. I mean, they're holding their breath in air. All these little tips I'm trying to pass on through my charity, Bluefish Canada, and through my weekly podcast on Bluefish Radio, where I interview people doing cool things to make sure there's going to be a future for fish and a future for fishing.
I'm curious. I mean, obviously, from an environmental standpoint, preservation of ecosystems, that sort of thing, it's important. But on a personal level for you, why make this your cause?
You know, I've gone blind throughout my whole life, right? I was first registered blind when I was 8, and then I was sort of functionally blind where I had to learn things like Braille and get a guide dog and a talking computer in my 20s. And now that I have no sight anymore, the minute I walk out of my door or go anywhere new, I have to sort of use my mind, use my knowledge, use my senses to understand my environment around me. I take those same skills now and I apply them to the underwater world. You know, for so long we look at water as sighted people and we'd see a surface and we see waves and we see ripples and we see, you know, the Loch Ness monster hump and it's just scary and unknown. And we throw things in it and we've been throwing stuff in our water for hundreds of years and mostly it hasn't been a problem. It's organic matter, no big deal. But now we're tossing in things like chemicals and pharmaceuticals and all sorts of cleaning products and all sorts of things that don't just biodegrade. We need to start to visualize what's happening under the surface of our lakes and rivers and oceans so that we can start to take care of it. I mean, it covers 80% of the earth. Only 20% of this big blue planet is covered by land. What happens to our oceans and lakes and rivers will determine whether we survive or not. Everyone's looking for things they can do to make a difference. And it just takes that first step.
Lawrence, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you.
Well, my pleasure.
Okay, Moby, Anava, let's go.
Good boy. Ellie.
Top angler Lawrence Gunther and his 5-year-old guide dog, Moby. He spoke to me earlier this week beside the Rideau River, which is one of his favorite fishing spots. You're listening to In Town and Out.